Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning on this wet, weary, dreary day. No, actually, it's really good to be here today. The Lord has blessed us with good enough health that we could be here today together and to study together and, most of all, to worship God. Amen?
Amen.
And we really do appreciate all of our visitors being here with us today. We have a few visitors with us. We're glad to have you here. We have a lot of our folks who are out of town. I know that Mike and Judy and Nancy are supposed to be coming back today. They went over to West Virginia to visit Mike's family. Cindy is supposed to be coming back today. However, I'm not holding my breath waiting for that to happen. I talked to Art this morning, and Bert is still having a lot of struggles. She's had some reactions to the medication that the doctors put her on, and so they've adjusted that. She's getting better, but they're still having some complications. She fell the other day as they were going to the doctor. She didn't injure herself other than just some soreness, but she's still having some struggles there. So please continue to keep both of them in prayer. Tonight we're going to be looking at lesson two of our video study on Not a Fan, and we will be in here, up here in the front of the auditorium. It just got too crowded last week back there in the fellowship hall, and that's a good problem to have, right? We will be in here tonight for lesson number two, so I encourage you to come back 6 o'clock to be a part of that. If you are not able to be here for the Sunday nights, we have everything set up. That will be back in the fellowship hall with the video and all set up back there, so you can just make arrangements to come over for any of those that you miss if you have to work or something of that nature. So as we continue our study on not being a fan, not being content to just be a fan of Jesus, but rather seeking to be a true follower of Jesus, again, I want to emphasize to you that this is really a challenge, and that's what we need to look at. It is a challenge for us to answer an important question, and that is, are you? This isn't look around at anybody else, but are you? Am I a fan of Jesus, or am I a follower? You see? And in that, I'm hoping that it will challenge all of us to reevaluate our relationship with Jesus, to make sure that indeed we are truly followers of Jesus and we're not just being content to be fans. As I told you as I began with all of this, this has challenged me personally. And there are some areas of my life, and as we've talked about before, that, you know, though I gave Jesus the key to my heart, there were some doors that key didn't open, that I've had to go back and reevaluate and go, no, I gave him the master key, and I'm hoping that you will do the same thing so that Jesus has all access to you and to your life. This morning, we're going to be talking about this idea of being a fan, and what's the difference between knowledge and intimacy? Or another way to put it is religion and a relationship with God. How many of you remember the song the song by Rupert Holmes called The Escape Song? Y'all remember that song? You probably know it better by the title The Pina Colada Song. Okay, how many of y'all remember it now? Okay, yeah, all right. Gotta have the right thing. The real name of the song is The Escape Song, but it's referred to by most people as The Pina Colada Song. And really, the song kind of goes like this, that he's in the bed reading the personal ads in the newspaper, and his wife is there laying in the bed asleep beside him. And as he's reading, he comes to this personal ad that says, if you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight on the dunes on the Cape, then we'll meet at O'Malley's where we'll plan our escape. And so, you know, he's reading this and the marriage has gone flat, it's gone stale, there's no more zip or zing, and this sounds really great. All of these kinds of things are the things to look at and go, yeah, that's what I really want. And so he would answer the ad. And so he goes to O'Malley's and he's there first, and lo and behold, it's his wife that shows up there to meet him. And they laugh a little bit, and then he says to her, I never knew that you liked pina coladas, and getting caught in the rain, and so on and so forth. And so that begs the question, why didn't he know? Okay. When we're talking about a relationship, you say, they had a marriage, but they didn't have a relationship. And there's a big difference between those two. You see? And my point here in telling about this particular song and using this is because I think that a lot of people today, a lot of Christians would find themselves in the same situation where we might have religion, but we don't really have a relationship with God. And if you think about it, that's really the story that we read this morning in our scripture reading. That's the story of this Pharisee. Turning your Bible over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, and let's notice a couple of things, because the story of this Pharisee is a whole lot like the story in this song. You see? Now, last week we talked about a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, okay? But let's make sure that we don't confuse the actions of these two Pharisees. You see, as we saw last week, Nicodemus went to Jesus because he was sincerely seeking to find the truth. We might look at this Pharisee and say, well, you know, he must have been looking for it too. I mean, after all, he invited Jesus to his house for dinner, right? I mean, that's a good thing. But no. No, it really wasn't. And how do we know that? We know it because of what this Pharisee did not do in inviting Jesus to his home. You see, there are certain customs that existed at that time that when you invited someone to your home, okay, there were certain things that you were expected to do that indicated, first of all, that the person was welcome, really truly welcome in your home. And secondly, it indicated the status that you held that person to. Okay? So in other words, one of the first basic things that was required to do, okay, if someone came to your home, was that you take off their Nike tennis shoes with their nice socks that they have. Oh, no, they didn't have any of that. They wore sandals or nothing, and so their feet were dirty, so it was customary, and it was expected that you would have someone there to wash their feet. Now, again, the status is important here, because if this was just, you know, a friend or, you know, a local or what have you, then you had slaves or servants or whatever, then you might get your servant to wipe and wash that person's feet. But if that person was to you someone who was very important, then you would do that yourself, because it was a sign of respect. See? Likewise, you see, you would greet that person at the door with a kiss. Okay. And again, if it was just a common friend or what have you, you might, you know, just greet with a kiss, you know, peck on the cheek, what have you. But if it was a person of high esteem that you held, or a person of high position, then you would kiss them on the hand. Okay. And again, if it was someone that was being held in high esteem, then you would, oftentimes, there would be offered oil to anoint their head. Well, guess what didn't happen at this Pharisee's home? Who invited Jesus to come there? None of that. So what does that tell you about how this Pharisee felt about Jesus? You see, it wasn't the Pharisee who took care of those things, but rather it was this sinful woman who came into the Pharisee's house and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and she poured perfume on them. She did the things that should have been done by the Pharisee. And that speaks volumes for the place that she held Jesus in her life. But it also speaks volumes for the lack of relationship that this Pharisee had with God. You see, the Pharisees were known as the religious leaders and those who knew about God and about the law and everything there was to know, especially about the coming Messiah. And so here, this Pharisee, he knew everything there was to know about the Messiah, but he didn't recognize that the Messiah was there at his own table. Because he had knowledge, but he did not have an intimacy with God. He didn't even recognize what Jesus was really all about. Instead, his thoughts are revealed in verse 39. If this man were truly a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this was that was touching him. That was his thought process. Jesus does not want us to have religion. He wants a relationship with us. You see, fans are content to have religion, but followers seek a relationship with Jesus. And how does all of that come about? Well, I think it's recognizing the significance and the difference in eternal life versus just having life. Okay? Turn over to John chapter 17 for just a moment here, and let's notice something that Jesus says and he mentions in his prayer that he's praying before he is arrested in the garden. John chapter 17 in verse 3, Jesus says, "Now this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That they might know you. And the word in the original language, in the Greek, for knowledge, for know here, is gnosko. And that word, by definition, speaks about a relationship. It does not refer to the concept that we oftentimes have of knowing about someone. It's not referring to information that someone has. It's referring to the relationship that you have, that you have a relationship personally with someone. You say, the word is closely related, as I understand, to the Hebrew word that is used back in Genesis. So we understand the intimacy of this word. The word is the same in the Hebrew that is used in Genesis when it tells us that Adam lay with his wife, or he knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a child. You see, that word speaks of intimacy, not just information. And I'm afraid that there are too many Christians who have a lot of information about God and about Jesus, but they don't have an intimate relationship with Him. And that's what Jesus really wants is an intimate relationship with us. Jesus really doesn't care about our religion. As we talked about last week with Nicodemus, one of the things that we saw there was Nicodemus had to lose his religion in order to follow Jesus. And I think that's what we have to do today. We need to lose our religion. We got to follow Jesus. Jesus is not impressed with all the religious acts that we do. What He wants from us is a relationship with Him, where what we are doing in those religious things that we do, that we are doing them from a heart of love, Baron. I really love Jesus. You see? It's about the relationship that Jesus wants to have from us. You see, I think one of the big differences is that we have to understand that eternal life comes from a relationship. And that's what Jesus is saying. Eternal life is knowing, that is, intimately having a relationship with God and with His Son. See? And I think that one of the differences between fans and followers is that fans just want to have life. And that life is like, well, I just want life where there's no problems. I don't have to deal with all the hassles. And God, if You could just take care of these things for me, so I don't have to deal with this mess. But followers want eternal life. And brethren, there's a huge difference between life and eternal life. See? And Jesus is defining eternal life as an intimate relationship with Him and with His Father. And I think that the Apostle Paul probably describes the attitude about that, about acquiring that and having that kind of a relationship. I think he describes it perfectly in Philippians. If you turn over to Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, Paul says, or verse 7, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing," and there's that word again, "knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." And then look what he says, verse 10. "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection." Now, be careful, because the next part, "the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." You see, fans complain and gripe about the things they have to give up and lose in order to follow Jesus. Followers are willing to die to all of those things and consider them a loss. You see, compared to the greatness of being able to follow Jesus. Fans will say, "Yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to have to suffer and give up things. And as long as it doesn't cost me anything, I'm willing to follow Jesus." But followers are willing to have fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus. Okay? To conform to His death. That's what Jesus means when He says, if anyone would come after Me, he must take up his cross daily, deny himself, and follow me. You cannot be a true follower of Jesus by simply knowing about Him. See? It's not about the amount of information that we have. It's about the relationship that we have with Him. That intimate relationship of knowing Him and conforming to His likeness in our lives. That's what Jesus wants from us. The question is, do you know Jesus in that way? Okay. Do you really know Jesus? We're going to stand and sing a song, and it's an invitation song. It's been chosen for us to think about what we're doing as we're following Jesus. And I want you to be thinking about your relationship with Jesus. Is it more about knowledge or is it about intimacy? Okay. Do you know a lot about Jesus or do you really know Jesus? Okay. If all you've got is a lot of knowledge about Him, and you realize there's a lack in a relationship, and I'm here to tell you this morning, you have the opportunity to really allow that relationship to blossom and to grow. And that's what God wants with you. We want to encourage you to help you to do that more and more in your life. There may be some sin that's in your life that's really causing a lot of problems. That's keeping you from allowing Jesus all access. Get rid of that this morning. And allow Him to have full, complete access. And we'll talk more about that later. But you can do that this morning. If you're not a Christian, but you're ready to give your life to Christ, to become His child and enter into a relationship with Him, you can do that this morning. If you're ready to make Jesus Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin in your life that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you have to do is come up and let me know. I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Ted will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him. He'll be back there to receive anyone who would like that. Let's stand together and sing.